lots of growth because you couldn't have done a study last year. And just is able to show, I think, all of us that are here, you know, we're all at different places. And God's with us in the trial, through the trial, and then when the victory comes. And he doesn't ever leave us or forsake us. And he hasn't left you or forsaken you. And that's a testimony. And his word's true. And I like your logical mind. I wanted to just open the word with you as well this morning. Just a couple of passages that I think we need to take a look at as godly women. So if you would with me, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to pray as well. Father, as the ladies are turning in the word, we just thank you for just the strength and the courage that you gave our sister Wendy, Lord. And that you would just cover over her. And God, just specifically as we gather together, that you would grant her request, Lord, for another child. And we just intercede, Father, on her behalf, Lord, that in your perfect timing, in your perfect way, Lord God, that you will add to her family. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for that, that we're going to be able to celebrate. And we know that you have a plan and a purpose. And there's so many things in all of our lives, Father God, that we see through the glass so dimly. And yet we can trust you. We can have complete confidence that you are good and that you have good in store, that the plans you've prepared for us, Lord, are good. So we thank you, and I just pray as the word speaks to us this morning and as we take communion that you would be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are together in 1 Peter 3, and we have talked last night when we gathered together, we talked about all the things that women like to do and the things that we like to do to our bodies and our faces and our hair and our fingernails and our toes and all those kinds of things. But let's take a look at the Word of God and what the Word of God says. So this is actually what I'd like to do. If you could put that picture back up there that had the heart shape, the mirror that had the heart. I just love that picture. I need that mirror in my house.
That would take a little while to find.
Oh, Wendy's good at it. She's my go-to girl. She'll come over. She's my girl Friday. Okay, so let's look at, we're in chapter 3, and let's read together. And I want us all to read together, verses 4 and verse, actually let's do 3 and 4 together. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You know, when I read that, it's so comforting that I don't have to adorn myself outwardly, but the problem that I have is the gentle and quiet spirit part. And there's some of you girls that can identify with me because you are pretty darn loud yourselves. But you know, the Lord, he what happens, and which I love about the Lord, is once you accept him and the Holy Spirit resides in you, he begins to quiet your spirit down so you're not just so out there. And I think that's what I find really most, as I'm getting older, most offensive about the world, is it's just so in your face. And women nowadays are just so in your face. And they don't care about these things, about having that hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. If you have that, you can grow old gracefully. Because it's really that inner beauty that you want to start coming out. And yes, we talked about, hey, you know, there's things that we can do on the outside. Yes, absolutely. But this is what is eternal. And if you want one thing that is precious in the sight of God, and I want to be precious in his sight. It says it's the gentle and quiet spirit. The hidden person of the heart. See, God looks at the heart. And all of us are so judgmental. We look on the outside. If we don't really like the way a person looks, we might not even say hi to them. And you know, I tried it. As I was walking from our lodge here this morning, there was all kinds of other women that were walking the other direction. And I tried to make eye contact with some of them. You know, they wouldn't even make eye contact. We were at a Christian retreat. You should have a smile on your face. You should just be like, so that the joy of the Lord. And I had to almost like literally pull that joy out of some of the ladies. And some of them just like kept looking straight on. And maybe, you know what, I did have my sunglasses on. Sometimes it's hard for people to look right at you when you have your sunglasses on. But you know what, we need to be kind. And we need to be gentle. And we need to be loving, and we need to quit looking on the outside of everything. And I'll tell you what was, when my girls were growing up, they used to love that show, What Not to Wear. And for years, I was like, I got thrash girls in my own home. I would walk out with something and say, Mom, you cannot wear that out of the hospital. What? I'm fine. No, Mom, no. And so, you know, they tried to fix me up, and we had a lot of fun with that. But, you know, this is just like a covering. Like, what's going to be so cool is when we are in eternity, we're going to be known, like fully known, like who we really are. Not what we look like, but it's that person on the inside. And that's what God's doing. He's perfecting that inner person, because the hair and the skin and this all goes away in eternity. Now, we are going to have a resurrected body, yes. And I'm hoping that one looks pretty good. But, you know, until that happens, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we have got to get that eternal perspective. And so, yes, these things are important. But I remember years ago, and I don't know how many of you remember, Keith Green. Any of you oldies remember Keith Green? Okay. Well, he used to have this song that, it was a good song, but it said, you know, you can't even get out of bed to get to church. You know, it's like, you're so dead, you can't even get out of bed. And it was this little rhyme, but I remember that his wife, Melanie Green, at the time, she wrote this little pamphlet, and it was about that outward adornment. And I can remember, as a young girl, I spent a lot of time in the mirror, and my makeup and my hair was just like, and it was the 70s. And when we went to school, you dressed up. Yeah. I mean, we wore, what were those pants called? Not hot pants, but I think Dittos. Yeah, they had every color, and we wore big, high shoes. And platforms. And we did the Farrah Fawcett hair and the makeup, and I mean, it took a long time to get ready. And when you went into the bathroom at my school, there was so much hairspray, you could not breathe. The girls were in there just spraying it. And, you know, it was a different era. I actually like the era now better. I really do, because when my youngest daughter, who's 22, when she went to school and I would drive her to school, I mean, the girls were like, they were in their tennis shoes and their jeans, and they had a pony, and they wore sweatshirts. I'm like, man, you know, that's awesome, you know, because really, when you take all this stuff away, it's really that inner person. And that's what you need to start, you know, you take the mirror of the Word, and you start looking at that inner person that you are, and it definitely changes your perspective. One other place that we need to look at is in 1 Timothy, so if you'll turn there with me as well. 1 Timothy 2. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10, and I want you guys to read it together with me. So 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Wow. I want to be a woman professing godliness with good works. And, you know, there's different seasons and times that the Lord puts you in. And I'm in a season of time where I have a closet with all different kinds of clothes. Like,
workout clothes, work clothes, picking up the kids from school type, you know, jammy type where you can just, you know, wear comfy clothes, the clothes from 10 pounds ago, the clothes from 20 pounds ago, you know, and I have it all segregated. But, you know, really, what's that all about? I mean, when you get the brass tacks, like, how many pairs of shoes can you really wear?
10.
You know? Imelda Marcus, do you guys even remember who she was, Imelda? Yes. What did she have? Like, you couldn't even wear one pair a day. You'd have to, like, change them, like, five different pairs of shoes a day. I do have a little shoe thing. Now, I won't say otherwise. And I remember when my girlfriend Karen and I, when we took a trip to Israel, and I pulled my shoes out, she couldn't believe it. You were floored. She was floored that I had, you know, maybe one pair of shoes for every day. But that, you know. And I mean, I like a good pair of shoes. You guys, I look at shoes. Shoes are like, I like those. Those are nice. Those are those Doc Martens? Yeah. Yeah. It didn't say anything about costly shoes. It just said costly clothes. Oh, yeah. Okay. But balance. You know, it can't be all about the outside. You know, everybody wants to look good. And when I went over to Europe, their things are so pricey over there, and all the missionaries that I talked to said they can't wait to come back to California and shop. This is where, really, we are the shopping capital. This is where everybody shops because the prices are so great. So you can look good for a very low amount of price. And so I was talking to one of the missionaries, and the Lord just humbled me. And I was saying, you know, there was a season in my life when the Lord just wanted me to shop at Goodwill. And it was just for a time. And so it was for maybe 2 years. And so I just couldn't buy it. But you know what? I found the best stuff. I got more compliments in those 2 years from the things that I got from Goodwill than, you know, any other time. But I was talking with the missionary about that. And she was sharing her story. And then her husband kind of came over and I said something about Goodwill. He goes, well, you know, we've been shopping at Goodwill for like 10 years. I mean, that is, and I just thought, holy Lord, you know, and I just said this, like, this big two-year thing, and he's like talking 10, and the Lord just kind of just said, don't say those kinds of things. It's like, you know, insert foot. And so, you know, there's seasons of time, and there's balance to come to, and that balance can go back and forth. But we did one thing years ago, which was really great, and I think it's something that we're going to do again when we have our summer in the sun. We had people like bring their clothes, their nice things, and we did like a swap. And we laid them all out, and you could swap. And that's a really good way to bless women. And another time, we actually took our clothes, and you guys remember this? We did a fashion show at Foster Road. And all the clothes, the ladies from the neighborhood got to come, and they could pick out anything that they wanted. And we gave them bags, and we gave them tickets, and they could pick whatever they wanted. And just free, totally free. And so it was so freeing, like, to go into your closet. And you guys know there's a lot of things in your closet you haven't worn for a long time, right? Yeah. And you could bless people with that. So it's not a matter of not to shop. I mean, everyone has a little shopping therapy here and there, I'm sure. But that the main thing as we look into the Word and what the Word says is that we're not supposed to be immodest. We're supposed to have moderation. And there's a lot of immodesty going on in the body of Christ. And we just need, as women, we need to be aware, not so much for you to look on others, but just to make sure that with yourself you are in moderation. And sometimes you have to ask a girlfriend. And I can remember on a missions trip years ago, I forget, we were in, my girlfriend and I were in some other country, and I had brought these two dresses. And I like bright colors. I like bright things. And I've actually toned it down over the years, because when I showed her the two dresses, I remember her looking at that bright dress, and I know in her mind she was saying, really, Lisa? You want people to see Jesus, not the dress. You know, and so you learn. But you know, as an old lady now, because I'm in those older years, I want to instruct the younger women that, you know, so much more beauty, that inner beauty, and not that you can't work on yourself, and that's all fine and dandy, but it's going to pass. And you want that gentle and quiet spirit. You want Jesus to be pleased with what you look like. And you know what? That you can even go to your mirror and you can say, is this okay, Jesus? Before you walk out the door, Jesus, help me pick out, you know, an outfit that is honoring to you as I get ready to go here, there, or wherever. Have you guys tried that? Try it. You'll like it. That was from the 70s too. And I want to look at verse 10, which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. That's who you ladies are. You guys are professing godliness. I mean, obviously you're godly women, or you wouldn't go on a Christian retreat. If you weren't a godly woman, you wouldn't be reading your Bible. If you weren't a godly woman, you wouldn't be after the things of the Lord. If you weren't a godly woman, you wouldn't be doing the things that we did this weekend, praying for one another, you know, getting into the Word, fellowshipping. I mean, it's all because that is who you are. And so if, as a younger woman, you saw an older woman dressing improperly, it would be very hard for you to go to that woman, wouldn't it? It's harder for a younger woman to go and I won't say discipline, but just, you know, kind of talk to an older woman. And I know when the Lord called me to do that several times, it's still not easy. But I will share this one little thing with you, and I'm sure I've shared it before, but if you haven't heard it, you know, when I became a pastor's wife, I was young. I was just 23, and at the time, you know, I grew up in the church, and we had the Word, but I had never gone through Bible teaching from Genesis to Revelation, because that's not the way the church that I grew up in did things. And so I can remember one night going to church. It was on a Sunday night. My husband's the senior pastor, and I wore some wraparound pants. Does anyone ever own a pair of wraparound pants? Well, wraparound pants, if you laid them out, they looked like a big, huge diaper. And they had strings on them. And you would put them on, and you would tie it here, and then you'd bring them up through your legs, and you'd tie them in the back, and then you'd tie them at the bottom. And so, you know, wraparound pants. I had a couple pair. And I went to church, and I sat down in the chair, and I remember sitting like this, and the whole leg of my pants just whoop. And I saw one of the older ladies at church. I sat the whole night, you know, holding my leg. And I went home, and she never said anything to me, but she gave me the eye. You know what the eye is? It gives you the eye. Okay, she gave me the eye. And so then I said, Lord, I just got the eye. And I said, you know, Holy Spirit, I just want to be sensitive to you, and, you know, help me. And the Lord showed me to go to my drawers and get rid of everything that was wrapped around. I had a bag full of them. I had wraparound shorts and wraparound, you know. I had to let it go. I mean, I was young, and I didn't know better. Sometimes you don't know better. I had never been on a retreat before. I had never had an older mentor say to me, hey, this is the way you're supposed to do it. This is what's honoring and pleasing to the Lord. So I just want to instruct everybody. And this is funny. This is what I used to do to my girls. They're adults now, and I don't do it to them anymore. But, you know, I always had to do the inspection when they came through, you know, on their way to high school. And I would be like this. Well, you know, because everything got so low that's why we all started wearing the little camisoles. Because it just was crazy. And if you were a believer, you had to put a camisole on. Otherwise, everything, you know, things have changed a little bit. But, you know, even some of the ladies in our church, you just want to say, yeah. You know, and my husband's up there preaching, and he's looking down, and I'm thinking, Lord, help my husband, that poor man. But, you know, if you love the body, the
body is not just women. The body is men. These are your brothers in Christ. Why do you want to stumble your brother in Christ? It's not honoring to the Lord. And it really makes the wives mad. I could go to Duke's with a few, but you know, I could do that. And you know what? What's funny is I want to have a gentle and quiet spirit, but really, girls, if you knew me before I was in the Lord, I was just not a very nice person. You know, I was the kind that would fight you. That was just, you know, I would. And that's still, that old woman of way back there, she wants to resurrect sometimes. And I push her down. I have to push her way down, girl, you know. And that's walking with the Lord, loving Jesus, being a senior pastor's wife for 30 years. I do not have it all together. I ask for prayer. I am weak. I go to my sisters and say, I need help, man. Pray for me. So we have the liberty. We have the liberty to do that in Christ. But we always have to go back to the Word. And everybody has the Holy Spirit. And if you learn to listen to that still, small voice, He'll tell you, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think that. Don't think that. I love that. Because a lot of times we get cleaned up on the outside. But he's really not about the outside. He's about the inward. He's at the heart of the matter. He's looking at the heart. And the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? And it's only going to be fully known, again, like our scripture says, when we're there. I'm known in part. I know in part. But in eternity, I'm going to be fully known. And I'm going to fully know. You guys are going to be fully known. I don't really want you to know all of me here on this side of eternity. Because I'm a little crazy and, you know, I got issues. But in eternity, you're going to know me fully, and it's going to be so awesome, and I'm going to know you, and it's going to be without all the junk, and without all the excess, and without all the bling. We're not going to need it in eternity. The sun doesn't even have to shine in eternity. There is no sun. God is light. So, we got a lot of awesome things to look forward to. But again, lovingly, gently, mama bear to cubs, sisters that are my age and even older, you know, it's, let's just do it with grace. Let's just take the rest of our journey that we have with just compassion and love and kindness and mercy. And let's go back to the letters and see if you guys know it. T for
true.
N for noble.
K for
just.
Go to your notes. No, actually, it would be better. Wait, let's go back to our scripture. Philippians, go back to your scripture. Let's read it. This is what we're looking at. You guys were, you're getting it, but you're not quite there yet. Okay, that's fine. All right, Philippians 4:8.
Yeah, there you go.
Finally, sisters, whatever things are
true,
whatever things are
noble,
whatever things are
just,
whatever things are
pure,
whatever things are
lovely,
whatever things are of
good report,
if there is any
virtue,
if there is anything
praiseworthy,
meditate on these things. Okay, that's what the godly woman is to be about, right? So sometimes you have to stop watching the trash TV, you have to stop reading the trash magazines, you have to stop trashing out on the internet, and just let it die, and go to the good stuff. Get into the Word. I mean, you say, oh, you know, I just don't really have any time to read my Bible. People are on the internet 24, people are playing crazy games. My husband, he is such crazy grandpa, on his telephone, he put on an app, a baby app, and when he has Jack, he has this little thing, and it's Bubble Blast or something, and Jack knows how to put the bubbles on his phone. I'm like, I don't have a baby app on my phone, how did you get that app? You know, he knows that the baby loves phones, and you know, my kids, the young ones, you young ones are like, 24/7. I mean, they don't leave their side. They are like connected to you in all kinds of ways. And so he knows already. He's just barely learned. He can go like that and scroll for pictures. He can play games. I mean, he's a genius. He's a baby genius. But that's how every grandma feels about her baby. But you know, we just need to be women of the Word. And if we're women of the Word, then the Holy Spirit is going to be actively on a daily basis correcting us. Because that's what he does. He comes and he shines light. And he convicts the world of sin. And he convicts me of my sin. And because I still have sin every day. And he convicts you of your sin. And so if we're in the Word, it's the Word that is going to keep us on a very short rope with the Lord. It's not going to give us very much time to stay in our sin. He's going to correct us. So I'm just thankful that you ladies have heard them this weekend, and I think it's gone down deep. Well, okay, so we usually take communion at a different time, but I just feel, and usually like it's real lively, and we do a song at the end, and we may do that, but the most important thing right now is just, again, to give that adulation and that adoration for what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so if we want to get our Bibles, we'll go ahead and we'll just read the scriptures in Luke 22. Talk about communion. We'll go to Luke 22:15. And if the girls that are going to help me serve communion, if you want to grab the communion, we'll do that. So we'll read those five verses together, 15 to 20. And again, you know, let's all read it together. We can all read it together and do it as well. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And I think the key right here, just for this retreat, 2015, the part where it says the new covenant. It's the clear image that they were going to have now, because Jesus was right in front of them. They had done Passover for years as Jews. Jesus was a Jew. He went to Passover every year. He went up to Jerusalem and took the Passover feast with everyone. But now, as it was Passover, he was actually showing them, I am becoming that Passover lamb. So I'm establishing a new covenant. And so now, the way we're going to see through this glass, the way we're going to see through this mirror is, now we look to Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that his body was broken, his blood was shed, so that we can enjoy not just an abundant life here, but eternal life with him forever. So, yes, I'm a wicked person and I ask for forgiveness, but really the focus for communion is it's a new covenant. It's about Jesus and what he did, and I can celebrate that. And I can join in and I can remember. And that's what communion is about. It's just taking a little bit of our time and remembering again, and again, focusing our eyes back on Jesus, what he did, and just thanking him. He thanked the Father. We're thanking him. And we're saying, Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross for me. So that's the power of it. Now, a lot of times when I take communion, if I have the opportunity and if I'm sitting in the front, I'll kneel down. It might be too tight for you guys to do that. Some of you on the end could do it. But if you wanted to kneel down, you could. You can take the communion. But just you and the Lord. So we're not going to all do it at once. You guys are going to do it individually. So I'm going to pray over both items just for all of us. And then in your seat, by yourself, just you and the Lord, I just want you to personally thank him in your own words. Lord, thank you this cracker, this little piece, this little wafer is your body, and it was broken for me. Thank you. This juice that I'm about to bring, this is representing, it's not actually his blood, it's just representing, it's a symbol, representing the blood shed on the cross for my sin. We're not talking about anything, this is just you and Jesus, very personal, very intimate. And thank him, full heart of thanksgiving. You came maybe with your cup, and now your cup is to overflowing, and overflowing in thanks first and foremost to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me pray. Father God, oh, you know what? Would you mind playing the guitar for us while we do that? That would be so nice. Thank you, sweetie. Father God, we come before you, and we're going to take communion together, Lord, as a group of women here, just to cap off our retreat. And Lord Jesus, that your body was broken for us. We are going to eat the bread together. And as the juice represents and is a symbol of your blood, we're going to acknowledge that it's by your blood that our sin was forgiven and taken care of so that we can spend eternity in the presence of the Father. And it's going to be just one-on-one time with you, Jesus. And so fill our hearts, Lord, with words and songs of thanksgiving. And as we fellowship with you in these last few minutes of our retreat, Lord, we just want to recognize and put you at the forefront that none of these things that happened in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts and our attitudes could have happened without you. And we thank you for that. So we give you the thanks and the glory for everything that you did, for the things that we're going to put into practice when we go back to our families. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for changing marriages, for changing friendships, for changing our lives, for giving us a clearer understanding of your word so that we can look more clearly, Lord, at the things that you say to us in your word. May your word in 2015, Father God, become a priority. May we desire your word, Lord God, more than food, more than shopping, more than TV, more than anything else, more than sports, more than whatever we're involved in. That we would desire your word in Jesus' name. Lord, again, we just want to thank you for your body and your blood broken and poured out for us. And we acknowledge, Lord God, that that's where it all started. That's where sin for mankind was forgiven, and we're included in that. And it's a gracious, wonderful, beautiful place to live with that knowledge, and that we've been forgiven. We've asked you for the forgiveness of our sin, Lord, and you graciously lived that perfect life, and it was poured out for us. So I thank you, Lord, and I thank you for the good work, Lord God, that you did this weekend. Lord, you are faithful to meet us every single year on retreat, year after year, because you love us, and you desire to be with us, and you desire to transform us, and you desire for us to see a little bit clearly, more clearly than we did in 2014, more clearly than we did in 2010, in 1990, more clearly than 1980. You're becoming more clear to us, Lord God, because we're drawing closer to you. Eternity today is one day closer for each of us than it was yesterday. So go before us in these things. May we be able to reiterate those things, talk to someone about it, whether it's our kids or our coworker or our husbands, that we would be able to have a testimony of what you did and what you accomplished and how you proved yourself to be faithful and true to us this weekend, how you cleared up our vision in some areas where we were lacking. You filled in those spaces that were void. And so we thank you. We give you all the praise, Lord God, because you are the faithful one and you deserve it. This is your retreat. You showed up, Lord, and you met us here, and we are thankful. We are overwhelmed that you loved us that much, that in all the places that you were here with us as well this weekend, Father. So we pray for traveling mercies as well, Father God, as we travel home in Jesus' name. And everybody say, Amen. Amen.